I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900 Wrestling!
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara!
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John Cena!
Well, look at this prima donna!
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot!
Welcome everybody to 1-900 Wrestling. This is a new voice you're hearing at the top of the show. Normally what you'd hear here is Jury telling you all about what you could do to support the show, how being a Patreon of 1-900 Wrestling allows you to take part in the super sweet, super fun, super supportive, and very positive 1-900 Wrestling Discord channel, where during all of the pay-per-views that happen, tons and tons of people are in there. If you always feel like you're watching the pay-per-views alone, fear no more. We've got a place for you to hang out, and it's wonderful. So please go check out patreon.com/1900wrestling if that's something you are interested in. But we're not going to talk about how we do the show or how we support the show. We're just going to do the damn thing. There you go. I copied Jerry there. So we're also now going to introduce you guys to somebody who's going to help me on this journey here, this juryless journey. And that is Lane Johnson, Lane the Main on Twitter. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi, I'm great to be here. I love the way you say it, the juryless journey.
The juryless journey, yeah, here we are.
I'm perfect. I've been a fan for a long time. Good to be a part of it now and help you with this juryless journey.
It's going to be fun. So let's. I think we need to qualify you a little bit, right? So people know, yeah. Why the hell should they care about your opinions on wrestling? And, you know, I think they should probably care a little bit more about your opinions than mine. Because you, my friend, are actually involved in wrestling in a very real way. So why don't you tell the people what you do?
Yeah, we'll just start at the beginning. Basically, I've been a fan since I was young. For some of you that may have been
you were young, you're still young, my friend.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I started in probably like so 07, okay. 06. So like right when, actually, if we're going to get sad here for a moment, like Eddie Guerrero Benoit, like that was one of my first wrestling memories.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm okay. Like, oh, wrestling, this is a thing. So got really into it, loved all of that up until about 2012, then got out of it and then got back into it. Maybe even 2010 or 11, I got out of it and then got back into it in 2013. And then as of last year, our local wrestling company said, hey, we're having a seminar from someone during that time, and it's Kenny Dykstra from the Spirit Squad. And sure. I'm like, oh, wow, that was from my childhood. Were they great? That's up to you. That's totally.
One of them certainly is, continues to be, right?
So, yeah. And then at the time it was, if you remember, when it was Kenny and Mikey came back with Miz and Dolph Ziggler during that amazing feud they had. So this was like a month after that. So he was still high. It was still good. And then I got into the ring, and then I've been actually wrestling ever since. So I've been it's been probably a year and a few months. It was in May of last year. So I'm actually in the ring. I help with a company. So
what's the name of the company?
It's called FTC Wrestling out of Ohio.
FTC Wrestling in Ohio. Okay, cool.
Yeah, we try to get every show, get a newer star, like an independent, and then try to get like a more classic that people know. And then I started there. So I also help drive the workers and everything. So I work, I help the company. So I kind of know a little bit. I know a good bit.
So this sounds to me like the classic kind of indie thing where, yeah, you just have a lot of people doing kind of a labor of love type of things where you just, whatever needs to be done, you all pitch in and make it happen, right?
Like, absolutely. Yeah. And I live really close, and I've learned to like where we work and everything, because we plan on opening a school soon. So there's a lot going on, but just getting close to the owner, just becoming friends with these people. And it's just, before you think, oh, this is just a guy trying to live out his dream being a wrestler. And it kind of was like, I didn't want to live with any regrets. I said, this is the only time. This is someone that's like that great from my childhood. And actually, because I wanted to continue it, Kenny and I worked one-on-one. He was the one that taught me how to run the ropes and do bumps and everything. So it's been a great experience. So just bringing a different dynamic that 1-900 hasn't brought before.
Sure.
Is just a wrestling fan and a other wrestling fan that also is a wrestler.
That is now
well.
Taken to the next level. I mean, so yeah, me and Jerry were kind of from the same era because we were a little closer in age. We also had a similar overlap in our dark periods, which we talked about, which is, yeah, where I think a lot of people do this, wrestling fans. At some point, they step away from it because either life is kind of, there's other things that are more interesting to them or whatever it might be. In my case, I think it was just that I didn't have friends who were into it anymore. We were all, you know, into being punk rockers and doing that kind of thing. And not a lot of my friends happened to be wrestling fans, so I just kind of fell off it. And then when I got older and I was just kind of, I think as I got older and I discovered that I didn't care what other people thought about the things that I liked and everything like that, I was like, yeah, I really like that wrestling thing. Let me check that out again. And then, you know, it's kind of to the point now where it's like the self-confidence means that you don't feel weird telling people that I like wrestling, right? Like, which I think there was a period of my life where I did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And to me, like, it's super cool that, you know, because if I was your age and I'd rediscovered my love for it, I think I might make this leap that you've made, which is let's get in the ring. Let's see what this is really all about. I think that's wonderful.
I think you said too, like when you're getting back into it, you find other people, because wrestling by itself is not like when you're just watching it in the TV, it's not as fun as with a group of people.
Oh, sure.
Or and the same with like the Discord you talked
about. With a group
of
like-minded people.
That's why it's together.
People
exactly.
who get it, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, we have one of the funnest things that we do here in Austin now is Trey has a place here in Austin as well. Trey Warren, who does the horrible melodica theme songs for us, which we'll see if we continue that theme. I got to talk to him and see if he's still down to do that. But this is kind of like a soft reboot of 1-900 Wrestling, if you will. So we'll see how things change. Today, we're kind of feeling things out. But anyway, we get together and we watch pay-per-views there. And it's really fun because it's people who... Like, there's inside jokes that we all know, even though we've never said them to each other, right? Just because we pay attention to wrestling. So there's a lot of, like, things that will happen, and, you know, we just all get it, and you just get that feeling of camaraderie that I think is so important. That's why live shows are, like, the greatest thing ever, especially, I think, indie shows. It's like, everybody's there, not just the performers. The fans are there to try to make this the best night ever, right? Every single time.
And I think with bigger indie shows too, it's less because with WWE you have the name and more children. I don't want to say like it's been known in the household for a while as a New Japan, Ring of Honor. Kids may not have, like you and I talked about this. I went to All In Chicago a few weeks ago. Not a lot of kids there.
No,
but
not a kid friendly show either.
It was not. But 11,000 adults, and it was the most fun thing. And even if you watch the show, you can tell how the crowd was into every single thing that was going on, and they were really, really drunk, a lot of them. So like it even made it better.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's that sounds like that was one of the things that we talked about WrestleFund wise. Should we do this All In thing? Because it was kind of, I think to be there, it's a once in a lifetime thing. All right. So let's, there's a lot of wrestling that hasn't been talked about in 1-900 Wrestling since we haven't done a show in month and a half now, maybe something like that. So All In did happen. That has not been talked about on the show. Just briefly, like, highlight of the night. I know there's too much to unpack for us to get into that Hell in a Cell and the Super Showdown. So just like highlight match of the night. What was it for you? Because there was a lot.
Hangman Joey Janela.
Oh wow. Okay.
Like a lot of people don't think, but I think it was different. There was a lot of really good ones. I even really liked the all of the pre-show, like the tag match with SCU, and it was great.
I thought the Rumble was fantastic too.
Yeah. That's what the Rumble was great. Like it was just so good. But when I think it was, I forget who it was in the Hangman match, because where it's been a little bit, where they got the Cracker Barrel barrel.
Oh yeah, and he's rolling it around the outside of the ring. Yeah.
Oh, loved it. And also like so. Little tidbit here. I'll tell you about, because as a wrestler, I have a lot of friends in a lot of these big companies. And I was with Joey Ryan a few weeks before the show. He gave me kind of an idea of what he was doing. And that was like, I want to be at that show to watch that live.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say came out? Would you say the penis costumes? Like what?
They're mostly being referred to as the dick monks or the penis monks.
I saw one. It was Undertaker has druids. Yeah. Joey Ryan druids, has fluids. Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. That's yeah. Good yeah.
It
right.
was good. It was good. And it was just, I thought that match was great. I agreed with a lot of people on the, was it Marty Scurll match going a little long? Because yeah, after, like there.
That was the longest match of the night. And then yeah. the main they event the main actually event, had to go in about 10 minutes and get an amazing amount of shit in.
The Bucks talked about there, like we went the next day to StarCast, which was going on the same weekend where we could go talk to all of them. They cut 70% of their match out, but now they just rib Marty so hard about going over now. The when Jericho came out, yeah. My throat, I think, went like it. My voice and everything went out because there was rumors about him being there. No one knew. He hasn't been really like out. Was that his first time out of WWE in the U.S.? Like.
I don't think he had done any of the New Japan stuff that had been in the U.S. So, yeah. So at that moment, like, were you completely fooled? Because I on TV watching it, it was pretty clear that wasn't Penta anymore. Like when he was lying there, like it was I kind of noticed it almost instantly because the body types are so freaking different. But I wonder how it happened live.
Yeah. The tattoo, there was rumors.
Yeah, there's
everyone
a tattoo,
heard
yeah.
rumors, but everyone knew. Like, if people didn't know, he had a show the night before, and still that night he had another show. Like, and that was at midnight somewhere else, and they had a private jet fly him. So I thought it was gonna be someone. I didn't know who it was gonna be.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I thought it was gonna be someone. At the time, I can't remember who in my head I thought was going to be it. But as soon as you saw him, but everyone still loved it.
Yeah,
even
sure.
if
oh,
you
yeah.
knew, like, when the lights came on, you're like, oh, my gosh.
Well, he apparently showed up and attacked Evil last night or two nights ago.
Last night.
And it was the same exact type of situation where it was pretty obvious right away who it was, but it was still, the pop was massive and it was amazing.
I just love the Penta mat, or, like, where he did the face paint and everything.
Sure.
Like, he
went for it. Yeah. And he had to like fly out again immediately after, right? To go play another show. So yeah, that's.
And they said, they said it was a lot of money, just a private jet. But for fans, they all knew, like, we really liked it. And I also like, I know we have so much to talk about today, the Cody match.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Well, it's a great moment too, and I think that's one of the things that pay per view delivered. And for anybody who's not familiar with all the things we're talking about, I recommend. Just go watch All In, because if you haven't watched it, it is worth it. It's a moment in independent wrestling history and just wrestling history. And now it's on. You can find it on the New Japan World. So it's just up there. So if you have that service, which is, again, about $10 a month, you can go check it out. And there's also other various places you could get it if you don't want to pay your $10 a month, which I won't get into. But it is worth your time to sit down and watch the entire thing front to back, because it is so freaking good. All right, let's move. Let's get into some WWE, because I think there's a lot of people.
Yeah,
because
you went to Hell in a Cell, too.
I did.
Like,
yeah.
I went to All In. You went to Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
So it's.
And this is another noteworthy pay-per-view, I think, because it was. First of all, it was really good. The entire pay-per-view was actually kind of amazing because.
Overall.
Yeah. Great. Overall, a great pay-per-view. We had really good seats. We were kind of like maybe second row, but. Like upper deck, but bottom little section of it, right? So like right near the railing area, but a really good vantage point of, you know, the actual cell, and really good vantage point of the ring. The entrances and everything, the Titantron was all like right there. So nice. Like I actually really enjoy, I've sat on the floor sometimes at WWE events and felt like my seat is not that great, even though I'm so close.
Yeah.
Because sometimes there's a lot of things you miss. They go to the outside, you don't see any of it.
Or the other right? side of the ring.
Sure.
Like if they go to your opposite
or the
side,
ref just is standing between you and the action, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So this was actually cool. And there's a few things that I kind of want to note. One of them is, you know, that thing where somebody, you know, gets hit and then their job is to lay on the outside waiting for the time where they're supposed to re-enter the match, right?
Yes.
And you got to play it off like you're recovering and, oh, my God, like I got
out of breath.
Yeah, I got hit in the face. I have no idea. I'm, you know, delirious. And sometimes this lasts a long time. One guy who doesn't seem to give any fucks about this is it's just, to me, it was the funniest thing, because it was right next to. So the Shield, it wasn't the Shield, but it was Seth and Dean, right?
Yeah.
Versus, which was, by the way, this match was fantastic. versus McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler. So Rollins is out there playing it off, rolling around, doing all this stuff, and I shit you not, Dean Ambrose is just sitting up, just like sitting there watching, like he's just back leaned against the barrier, just watching the action, waiting for his moment to get back in. Is it, you know, because, and I get it why he does it, because he's like, the fans who are here know what's going on. This is just, I'm off TV right now, right? So it looks like I'm just going to come back in.
Yeah. I think he honestly just doesn't care. And that's the thing, too. And sometimes they're honestly like, so when people do that, when they're just, when they're trying to sell the injury, you're honestly out of breath.
Sure.
So I've even seen some guys, they'll put half their, like if Dean in the corner, he was actually like tired, put half their body underneath the ring, there'd be like a Gatorade or something there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Real sip.
Grab a little sip, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, awesome.
And no one knows any different.
Sure.
Like, and if you're off camera, especially if you're, well, only if you're off camera, like you're not going to be like on camera chugging a Gatorade, but.
Yeah. I feel like there's things, okay, I feel like the wrestling community and the magic community, I'm not talking about Magic the Gathering, I'm talking about like magic. I'm talking about making rabbits appear and stuff. It's kind of similar in the fact that there's a lot of tricks of the trade that people just know when they're doing it. But as a fan, it's kind of important that you keep them a little in the dark, right? Like, no, it doesn't have to be completely. Like I'm saying, Dean Ambrose is not selling an injury there. He's literally sitting there waiting for his time to come back in. But it's one of those things where, like, yeah, there's little things that you do when you're a wrestler and the other people can't quite tell. Like, I always was amazed when you watch, like, a six-man tag and the timing is perfect on when everybody comes back in, or you break up a three count, or all those types of things where if you miss your cue by a second, right, the whole thing falls apart.
We're going to talk about that actually later when we talk about the Super Showdown, because that's another thing too. You got to catch me sometimes because I'll say wrestling jargon that like workers.
Well, if you say something that I get stumbled on, I will probably assume that the fans of this show, but I think our fans of this show are probably
smarks.
They're smarks. Yeah. okay. But the big thing of the night, okay, I just want to say the whole pay-per-view is amazing. Drew McIntyre is a freaking star.
He's good.
Yeah, he's just that wrestling match was like a clinic of watching four guys who are really good at what they do what they do really well, right? And and make a mid-card type of match just feel really, really big, right? So hats off to that match. There's another couple things. Becky, the can't turn her heel. It just doesn't work. They're trying so hard, but oh my God. But I want to get into the main event because there was a lot of confusion from us in the crowd and people who are watching. And so the experience was different for people. So just to kind of recap what happened here, you got Roman, and oh my God, why am I blanking now?
Braun Strowman.
Thank you.
There we go.
In a Hell in a Cell match. And then at some point, and then it's a good match. It's a Hell in a Cell match. You got two guys, two really big guys doing a lot of power moves to each other in the cell, people hitting each other with objects, people slamming into the side of the cage, all this stuff. It's fantastic. And then at some point you get, the Dolph Ziggler and, Drew McIntyre running, right? And then you get the Shield run in afterwards, and then all hell breaks loose, right? So these guys, to us, like, everybody kind of was like excited, but also a little bit wary of this because the crowd wanted a clean finish. We wanted to see, we assumed the big dog was going to win, but we wanted to see like a clean finish between Braun and Roman. So then they come in, we're like, oh no, here we go. Immediately they start like climbing to the top of the cage. They got kendo sticks out. All this stuff is going crazy.
Like, was your angle, like, could you see?
Yeah, our angle is perfect for all of this. Yeah, we could see the top of the cage. Yeah.
Dean Ambrose beat the piss out of them with that kendo stick.
Yeah.
Like, my God.
It was insane. So then you get Ziggler and Rollins take a bump off the side of the cage onto the Spanish announce table, which was insane. It was super well done. They both went through together. It was great. Then all of a sudden.
Damn.
Yeah, all of a sudden Brock's freaking music hits, and we're like, "Wait, what?" Because this was not.
I haven't heard about.
I had not heard any rumors about this. Yeah, like it was. He is gone. He is UFC now. He'll maybe be back later, but for right now, no more Brock. Right.
Yeah.
So, and I will say, for a lot of people who go to pay per views who say that they're sick and tired of Brock and Roman, that whole place popped like crazy when his music hit, because it was such a surprise. Too.
He looked good. He was slimming down.
Yeah.
You could tell he was getting ready. He got that. What was it? He had that little goatee back.
Mm hmm. Yeah. No. And he
didn't think, and you still believe that as a fan, the finish wasn't going to be what it was.
I mean, at this point, I assumed he was going to come in and somebody was going to win because he wanted them to win. Right. Like he was going to make Roman win so he could get his chance again or something like that. That's kind of where I thought it was going. He kicks the friggin' door down, which was awesome too, by the way. Kicks it down and then climbs up it into the ring.
Yeah. Well, no, you forgot about the pepper spray.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Heyman pepper sprays the ref, which, of course, was Mick Foley. So,
celebrating the 20 years.
I think so. Okay. We were talking about that portion of the whole thing later. Because at this point, it's all just chaos, right? You've got people on top of the ring. Spanish announce table's busted. Now pepper spray's happening and Brock is kicking doors down. Like, it's just all this stuff is all going on at once, right?
You can tell he didn't know what to do with the door either. Like, once the door was kicked down, he had no idea what to do.
Well, he figured it out pretty quick. He just, like, right up it, you know, like a cat. Yeah. Anyway, so then we were talking about why did they do the pepper spray spot with Mick Foley. And I think then in the end, the reason is because Mick Foley, as a ref, would never let the finish happen the way it then happened, right? He's the guy who was thrown off Hell in a Cell, not once, but twice. Well, once off and once through. And then didn't even finish that match until a tack spot. So, you know, that.
I think it was also a cheap heat move, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mick Foley. We all love Mick Foley. Exactly. He's an angel.
But I think a lot of people missed it in the crowd, though. It wasn't it wasn't obvious. The TV was showing it in the crowd. Unless you were watching six different things, it just kind of happened off to the side, right?
Yeah.
So then this is where the confusion hits. Brock just F5s both guys, hits them with a piece of the table a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And apparently that's enough that they're both just incapacitated.
They're dead. Yeah.
Yeah. So
they're dead.
Another ref comes in, doesn't know what to do, and just calls for the match to end in a no contest. And at this point, no music plays or anything. Apparently the stream goes off. Right?
Yeah, at home. Yeah, at home. That's why. Yeah, we're like, what? And then for you,
for us, they're all just people still laying around, right? So we all assumed that more stuff was going to happen. I now realize what happened is that they turned off the feed because they didn't want what happened next in the actual arena to get broadcast. And what happened next is everybody chanted, "This is bullshit." The place booed like crazy. Nobody left their seats for a long time until JoJo finally said, "Thanks for coming out. Drive home safe." Right? I mean,
everybody's
literally
dead on the top of the cell, and you're like, "What's going on?"
We were like held hostage in our seats because we didn't know what was going to happen next. And then slowly the wrestlers all one by one leave. Dean and Drew McIntyre just gingerly climb back down from the top of the cage, and they all leave and they play each of their music as they leave. It was just bizarre. Like, the whole thing, none of it made sense to us. And when we walked out, the problem was a really good pay-per-view then gut punched every single member of the
audience.
Yeah,
it was a roller coaster up, starting with, like, the only wrestling match ever I had to look away from, starting with Hardy and Orton in the beginning.
Oh, Jesus, yeah, yeah.
And it was the only time, like, I've ever had to look away. And it, like, the whole night was felt like a roller coaster and then dealt, like, a straight nosedive down. But, for me at home, think right before, like a couple weeks before, I just watched one of the greatest wrestling pay-per-views ever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, time to go back to WWE content. Can't wait. And everything I'm like, man, this night's great. But and this is the same too, WWE has storyline over like a good finish, which to me is you paid money to see this. Like you paid money to see either Roman or Braun or someone win. Which I thought it was sweet that they had Braun cash in. That was sweet too. But it was just I think people felt robbed at the end. Like, you wanted to see one of these two people win. And that's.
It's the problem with WWE right now in that I get it. They have 365 days of storyline to cover. So, you know, at times you're going to have to do dusty finishes. You're going to have to do all this kind of stuff that's just going to prolong stories so that they have all these pay-per-views. I get that, right? Like, All In was like, we can just, it's in the title, All In. Like, every match is going to end in a super satisfying way because this is the one thing. We don't have to set up for other stuff. we can. We don't have to. And we can just make this the best single night, right?
Like, the women's match had no storylines. And it, like, you could argue that was the best match of the night, too. Like, that was so good that, like, these four women that didn't really have a storyline, but that's that. I think that's what we all knew that going in there. They weren't going to do a dusty finish, be like, hey, we're getting in for All In 2 or something. Like, no, like, but that's what we, with the WWE product, it just continues to basically what we're going to talk about after this, which is the
super showdown. So that's the thing. Like, they can't just end things there. So they have to find ways to prolong them. So I get that. And as a fan, and, you know, as a co-host of this show, we've talked a lot about being positive about wrestling, not just like, oh my God, screw this, this is the worst, which is what you see on Reddit after every single one of these pay-per-views that has an ending like this, right? Everyone's saying, I'm canceling the network. I'm done. I'm never coming back. Screw Raw. Screw SmackDown. Screw you. You know, they're taking their ball and they're going home, right, as fans.
Yeah.
And I get that sentiment. Being in the crowd, I definitely felt the gut punch, right? But I'll tell you this. At the end of that, the four of us who went to that show, we got in the car to drive home, and we talked the entire night about the pay-per-view.
I was about to say that. Yeah. It's there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Sure.
Like, that type of thing. Like, we're even now, we've spent the most time talking about this that people could say is good or bad, but we're talking about
it. Yeah.
That's what they want. And that's what they believe in. That's great. And I think that's, people compare that, like I did, to All In or New Japan. WWE needs to be different, and they're different in this.
Like, yeah.
Good for them. Like, it was good.
I think there was pressure from a lot of fans that WWE now has to follow All In. And I think WWE was like, no, we're still top dog around here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, good for them. And I heard a lot of sentiment from people within the company that they were proud of what All In accomplished. They're proud of what these guys are doing. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to suddenly be concerned about their top spot, right? Like, they're fine. There is also actually now, weirdly, because they all said at the end of Cody, there was a long speech at the end of All In where he said, we're not going anywhere. All of a sudden now there's rumors that at the beginning of the year they might all be in WWE. I don't believe it, but whatever. We'll see.
Well, there's been rumors for Pentagon and them too, but rumors are forever.
Yes, that's very true. All right, let's talk about this Australian Super Showdown, because this is, I think, a new kind of anomaly in WWE that just started with the Greatest Royal Rumble.
In April, yeah.
And, you know, in the past they have done stuff, right? Like, I remember when I was younger, Hulk Hogan being in Japan, like, at the very beginning of his career. I remember when Brock went to Japan. I remember they had that one thing where they all went to Japan for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it's not like WWE is just sitting on an island by itself. But this whole thing where they just do kind of what a lot of people are saying is a glorified house show.
Yeah.
In another country where the storylines don't have to continue. Nothing really has to happen. A lot of the matches are just put some people together who are going to put on a good match and then just have fun. That is kind of what we got. And I'll say this, that was a super good show.
It was really good. I was really surprised. And I think they learned from the Greatest Royal Rumble, but still, like, because it was different. They had like the giant, of course, the Greatest Royal Rumble, and you had Ray and all these guys that people wanted to see, but they kind of really didn't do anything other than Titus World Slide.
Sure. Like, that was the takeaway, right? Yeah.
But that's the only thing I really remember from that show.
Sure.
And they didn't do anything when Braun won after. Here's a trophy. Here's a title. Never see it again.
Mm-hmm.
And with this, I really, really liked it. Overall, incredible. I thought the show was really
good. No, I agree. So there's a lot of, like, we don't have to talk about all the matches because there's just so friggin' many.
Okay.
Actually, I think, I have 10 total matches listed here. That's a lot. But it was, you know, it was a lot of fan service here, right? There was a lot of, like, these are the people that these Australian fans have never seen, right? And let's show them all. Yeah. New Day retains. That's fine. Whatever. Yep. Just another fun, good match where, of course, the bar in New Day, it's going to be good. Becky Lynch now is being full heel book, right? Like she's now hitting Charlotte Flair with her title.
And I'm glad you said that too, because in the beginning, people were chaining for her. And that's a common thing on if people's chaining for her, you do something heel automatically. So if someone, because you, of course, booking her as a heel, they don't want her to be cheered, but everyone knows we love her. Like, sure. She is great.
Yeah.
So that, and that's the one problem they had. So that's why, if you, in the beginning, if you remember the start of it, they were cheering for her, instantly did something heel, loved it. Yeah, they are totally going for it. And I think they also booked her as a lonely heel. Like, she has no friends, she has no one, but she has the title.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's kind of what her character arc has been, right? Which is, they're trying to keep me down and I have to fight through it all and everything like that. I think they're turning on the fans thing. That was a little bit misguided. But mm-hmm. her using the title and her being like a ruthless kind of champion, I like that. I don't want to see her be chicken shit champion. I want to see her be, I do anything to keep this title, not I run away from a fight, right? Like, which I think this is, that set her up pretty well for that, so. I enjoyed that. Bobby Lashley, John Cena defeat Elias and Kevin Owens. Elias and Kevin Owens is just, look, put Kevin Owens with anybody and it's freaking gold.
Yes. When they were singing in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. But Elias is just, it's another, you know, we had Jericho Kevin Owens. We, you know, we've had Zayn Kevin Owens. Like, it's all so good. I just love, like, Kevin Owens is just the ultimate friend. He just finds somebody, gloms onto them, and then they become best buddies. It's great. The John Cena sixth move of doom was hilarious.
Yeah. I got to talk about that for a second. So
yeah,
it's a Mandarin move.
Sure.
He named it, and he's, Corey Graves could have said it six times and I still would have no idea what he was saying,
but
I think it translates as the lightning fist,
the lightning fist. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
So he's going super cyan or something here. What's going on?
Yes. Okay. And if you heard what they kept plugging is with the long hair, uh-huh. he's training with Jackie Chan, uh-huh. rumors that he's with a movie called Project X.
Okay.
That's why they want the long hair. And this is, as a booking standpoint, as a wrestler, when you want someone, so people want to see John Cena, people want it, like, they're in sure. Australia. They never really get something. So John Cena, and the way to protect that is you put him in a tag match.
Okay.
You know, like, do you remember how long he was actually in the match?
Well, he didn't get tagged in for a long time, and then he did immediately his six moves of doom.
Immediately.
Yeah.
It was immediately he did the six moves of doom. So he did that, and then, but it was like the last minute. So they're trying to protect him. So what happens like that, if you have someone that's either injured or have something like that coming up, they're like, hey, we'll tag you in either for the finish like he did here.
Yeah.
Or you do something in the beginning, you take a bump real quick, go back, and then you wait till the end. So you can totally tell.
This is exactly what they did with Ronda Rousey, too, later in the show, by the way. She didn't really do much, and then she came in, and the match was over. So
And you don't want your champion to be hurt. Like,
yeah.
And that's the thing, too. With John Cena, let's say like John Cena would have broke like an arm. That would mean...
Yeah, the movie suddenly has to put a cast off on him. Yeah,
totally. And that's what, with All In, everyone talked about Stephen Amell. If he would have injured something...
Oh, geez.
That would cost so many people, like so many other actors that are with him, so many different things. So that's what they did with John Cena, just to be safe.
They didn't really do that with Amell, man. They put him through a table.
I think that was him. I think he wanted to go.
Okay.
But that's what everyone was talking about, is this guy needs to be kind of protected, and so let's put him with a vet. But I think Stephen Amell just wanted to go crazy with John Cena. I think people just wanted to see him. John Cena couldn't have been tagged in that match. And yeah. I think people have still been sure. loved it.
Because they get to hear his theme song. He comes out, you know, he does the whole thing. He throws his shirt. All right, let's talk about the Iconics, because this was the first, like, feel-good moment of the night, I think, for the Australians, right? You get your hometown heroes actually winning a match. I love the Iconics. I think they're amazing. I'm a little bit concerned that it had to be Asuka and Naomi that they had to put down.
I'm glad you said it. I'm very glad you said that, because with Asuka...
Well, Naomi took the pin, which I think is
I wrote that down because I remember, I'm like, if they would have had Asuka take the pin, that would be, because it's like,
you forever have Peyton Royce pinning Asuka, right? As an image. So,
and I did like, though, with the Asuka Naomi tag team, that Asuka's hair glowed. Mm. I don't know if that was on purpose, but if they did it, sweet. But yeah, if they want to do it in storyline, just Asuka has the longest streak, and then now she's Kurt Hawkins, now she's going on the worst streak,
mm-hmm.
but it seemed to be good. I thought it was a really well-rounded match.
It was fun.
They did talk about
it. Was less, it was like a 6-minute match, so you know,
it was 5:45. I got all the times here. They said Margot Robbie was friends with the Iconics since they're all Australians.
Oh, okay.
Let's see.
All Australians know each other, right? I mean,
all Australians know each other. Yeah. That has to be true.
Yeah. Anyway, it was fun to watch them like get the pop and get the win and all that stuff. All right, and Now we got AJ Styles, Samoa Joe. Obviously, this was amazing because these two guys are just kind of amazing together. The weirdest thing to me, though, and I'll just give you my weird takeaway, was I don't think Samoa Joe is the guy who ever submits. But here he is submitting to a calf crusher, which was kind of strange.
I think if you should have submitted, and this is just like a little critique, they should have been like a weapon involved.
Sure.
Like, you know, like if you would have done it with like a chair involved, too.
You could do the pass out spot, which I don't think you can do off a calf crusher, but, you know. It's
my calf hurts so bad.
I've lost blood to my head. Sure.
But it was the longest match of the night, or longest match so far. It was 23 minutes. You could tell these guys have been working with each other.
Yeah.
For ever. Yeah. Like they've known each other for like over 10 some years. You could tell they just work really well. But yeah, it was good. It seemed just a little long, but yeah, the calf crusher ending. I think the pass out would have been good.
Yeah.
Him just,
weird to me what's happening with their feud, because it is promo wise, like the most brutal shit I've ever seen. Right. I mean, you're on the level of, Pillman and the Gun type of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Where it's just insane what's happening. He's going to his house, like AJ's saying he won't leave until he knows Samoa Joe's on a plane. All this stuff, like his, like literally, like acting like my family is in real danger. Yeah. And then when they wrestle, it looks like they hate each other, but then the finishes are all of these wonky finishes. I'm like, at some point, I just want to see AJ just destroy Samoa Joe or Samoa Joe. I don't think they're going to have him actually hit the, you know, his finishing move on AJ, because they never want that to happen again. But I want him to just get choked the hell out, or so I want a satisfying ending to one of these. And I think they're just saving it for a non-Australian pay-per-view, which I guess,
like you said, it feels like a house show almost.
Yeah.
But like almost like anything could happen. I do find it really not weird, but strange that AJ keeps getting color, like he's bleeding. Yeah. Almost every pay-per-view now. And it was like a scoop slam or something that, and then just he gets up and now he's bleeding from the mouth.
Yeah.
And
it's the mouth just, thing always too, right?
Yeah. It was the mouth. And then I think there was one time with the chair and Shinsuke. But the
is
only
he, like,
thing
biting
too, is
his
with
tongue or
mask.
Something. I always do wonder about
it
that,
could.
By the way, why do wrestlers not use mouth guards except for like Neville? Like Neville always had the mouth guard, but I barely ever see wrestlers use them.
Cesaro now, I think that's why he uses, because he's like afraid of that injury. But I think it's because of talking. Because in a match, like if especially you're a heel,
you're supposed to actually someone. And also you have to talk to each other too, right? So
And that's the one thing too. Like I know some wrestlers that are like deaf in one ear. Mm. I know some like that have a lisp, and you have to talk just perfectly. But that could be it too. And that's why one thing I think why AJ grows his hair out. So when it's like in front of his face, he can just say whatever.
Sure.
But it's just, I think they did another one, like one little critique. And that's what I always do. And if you watch my wrestling, I am still new. I am not great. I will let you know. But it's with this match, they didn't really talk about like Samoa Joe went to his house.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe, like they did talk about it a little when AJ was going a little like heelish. Like, okay, he has a reason. Joe's being mean to his family. Great. But you just want to see this, not just for the title. Like, was this even for the title?
I believe it was. No,
you just wanted to see a straight brawl because
no count out, no DQ for the title.
Yeah. Like, you wanted this guy to just beat him up because he's being mean to his family. Like, you just wanted to see that. And I just feel like it was good. Like,
It was good. Yeah. All right. We already kind of mentioned the Ronda Rousey getting protected in the Bella Twins match. I think a lot of people were confused, by the way, that the Nikki Bella heel turn didn't happen here, because that's what the rumored match is for Evolution, is that it'll be Nikki Bella and Ronda Rousey in the main event. Nothing like that happened here. It was good to see Liv is fine, apparently. That was nice.
Yeah, so she had a concussion the last couple of days. She got cleared. And that's one thing I want to talk about, too.
So Brie Bella kicked her in the face. She basically got knocked unconscious in the ring.
When you train in wrestling, you are told by day one, this is not ballet. That's always a term. You'll hear that from people. Accidents happen.
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan even tweeted out, like, my wife is getting basically like...
Yeah, she's getting lambasted on the internet. Yeah.
Yes. And what keyboard warriors do. And that's the thing. But like, it's happened. Like, this is just a thing that happens, that if you look, And I was actually that morning, I was training on those kicks as well. She just caught her at the bottom of the chin.
You're trying to hit the upper chest area, right?
Yeah, you're trying to hit right there.
Okay.
And with no knee, you want your knee nowhere close.
Yeah.
But what it looked like is that the shin caught the chin here.
Yeah.
Liv, in pain, put her head down.
And then she hit her again. Yeah.
Right. And that was the move. But I think it was more, everyone can agree. It was accidental.
Yeah.
She didn't mean just to kick her in the face.
No.
And that's why at this pay-per-view, sometimes when Brie came in, people booed. But I did like how the Riot Squad talked about it. Like, Brie, you made a mistake. Now we're going to get you. Like, they played off of it. Yeah. It was really, really good.
Brie got a receipt in that match almost instantly from Ruby Riott. So it's like, that's the wrestlers kind of take care of it themselves. And then the fan base nowadays feels like they have the right or need to also be governing who you should or shouldn't be in the ring. It's like, if she shouldn't be in the ring, she probably won't be anymore, right? And we've seen that in the past where guys like Ryback just find their way out of the company because people are not happy with their work. So, let WWE handle this kind of stuff internally. I think it's fine. Mm-hmm. Obviously Brie Bella is not the greatest wrestler in the world as far as women are concerned, but her character is great, and she, you know, the whole sister thing is cool. I love it. Fine. Let them keep doing what they're doing.
I do think go home was incredible. That's the one match I thought the double arm bar didn't see that coming.
Thought it
was really good. Like you talked about, they were protecting Ronda, but they also want her to look like an animal.
Yeah, she's a monster.
Decimating people.
Yeah.
And that's what I didn't know what they were doing. I don't think most people did when she was grabbing both arms and twisted. They were like, oh. And it was good.
She gets literal double tap at it. It was cool. Yeah. All right, but this is, I think, the match of the night for me. It's Buddy Murphy and Cedric Alexander. Buddy Murphy is a freaking superstar. Cedric Alexander is a superstar. These two guys just went at it. We had, I think, to my recollection, the first ever kick out of the lumbar check.
Yeah.
Which was probably the pop of the night because a lot of people...
Well, talk about Buddy Murphy. He's actually from Melbourne.
Yeah.
Like the Iconics.
The actual city where this is taking place. Yes. Yeah.
And the Iconics, I think, were like in Sydney, but like you could tell his fire and all of his passion, and these men put on, and that's what people talked about 205 beginning. They're like, oh, it's not great. If you haven't watched it lately, it's incredible. And
it's
like
gotten
this
a lot
match,
better. Yeah.
People could say this match was the match of the night, and it was only about 10 minutes long.
I know. It was, again, like they just nonstop. Like there was not a lot of rest holds and things like that. It was just move after move, big spot after big spot, and tons of psychology as well, too. This was really cool because it is the story of Buddy Murphy here and essentially an unbeatable champion, right? Cedric Alexander has just not lost to anybody.
Since WrestleMania, first weekend of April.
Yeah. So he's at this point just run through the entire roster, and Buddy Murphy is this super up-and-comer who a lot of people didn't see coming, right? When he was with the Wah Wah Bros or whatever, that was not an exciting tag team to me, and he didn't really stand out. He changes his look completely, comes out in 205 Live. His body is like insane right now, and the moves he's doing are things that we don't normally see in WWE. Right?
Yeah, that finisher he does, I'm like, I my body can't turn.
Yeah, I don't know how you're doing like this. Yeah. But anyway, so he walks away with the title, and it's the second big feel good moment of the night. But this is the one. This was over the top,
like for the title.
Yeah,
like that's
this is the that, stuff you need to do when you do these kind of things, right? Which is, I think, this is the moment that Greatest Royal Rumble never really had, right? Like there was no moment of like national pride and relief and just joy like that this moment brought. So I'm really glad that they booked this match the way that they did.
Yeah, it was really good. These two men can go. It was like it was just an overall great match. And like I said, it matched the night for me.
Yeah. Shield defeats Braun Strowman, Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre. What are they calling them? The Dogs of War or something like that?
The Hounds?
The Hounds of Justice versus the Dogs of War.
The Dogs of War. Yeah. I couldn't remember what animal that they switched to.
It's, you know, like this is fun and obviously they're all really good, but to me this match was like, I didn't need it to be 20 minutes. After we just had like that huge moment.
It was 20 minutes.
After we had that huge moment, I was like, I was like, what we needed now, we needed like the Daniel Bryan Miz match so that then this match would be like that. Switch Daniel Bryan times. Miz match would be like the bathroom break match. By the way, it was 2 minutes. match.
2 minutes. And
it was just hard to top that. We were just ready for the main event, I think, at that point. Right.
Oh, yeah. With 4 hour pay-per-view. Yeah. And that's what we're 3 hours in. We're like, OK, where's the old guys at? I want to see it.
So this is actually something I want to ask you because, you know, you're involved in booking an indie promotion. Is this consciously done where you know that before the main event, you're going to need to give your crowd a breather because you see it happen all the time?
You want to go heat because like you need to have something in between. And it's not just like some people like we call it bathroom breaks, stuff like that.
Sure.
You need it like you don't want your emotions to be going straight up. Like as a booker, what you want to do is you want to book like a match. It's basically like you want your, I don't know how to word this properly. Like one match to be really, really good. And the next one to still be good.
Yeah.
But you want the match after it to top it like every other one.
Okay.
But as the workers, you want it to be straight fire every single time.
That seems we'll difficult about it in the indies.
Yeah. With Miz and Daniel Bryan. They didn't have that time. But the one thing I was talking about earlier with the timing and everything during this match, the dogs versus the hounds, I want to talk about a hot tag.
Okay.
So what they do with the hot tag, this is one of the first things I wanted to learn is how can two people with their stomachs on the ground, not looking at each other, how to know to tag their people in at the exact same time.
Mm.
So most people, this is more indies, and I forget it was, I think the Riot Squad did it earlier. So you have your hand down. So you're looking at the other...
You're talking about the person who's waiting for the tag, has their hand down.
Yeah, the person is waiting for their hand, but you see as a fan, the hand's going out for the tag.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you see that the people are close enough, you look at your tag or your opponent that's also in the corner about to be tagged in, you flip your hands over.
Ah, so you both flip your hands over at the same time, and that signifies when to tag.
Yeah,
that's pretty
and
sweet.
And that's when the jump happens.
Wow.
And that's one thing that... It's so simple, and it's like what you talked about with magicians. Like, it's the little tricks and the little things that how can these people and most wrestlers know how to go at the same time on a hot tag?
Yeah.
And it's, yeah.
One of these days we should do a show where we kind of talk about some of these things, because I know there's also stuff like the people use the right side a lot and the left side. Like, you see them, like, working the left leg and things like that, right? Yeah.
Left's more Mexico, right's more here.
Sure.
Also, like, there's a thing, like, with the grips, like, different grip, giving them the...
We should definitely get into all this stuff at some point. That's really interesting to me. Outside of that, there's not a lot more to say about the match other than it's just the continuation of...
They teased the turn.
Oh, the Ambrose turn, yeah.
Yeah, he got on, so the Hounds got against the... Braun and Dolph and... McIntyre got in when Seth and Roman were in the ring, like how the Shield gets in at three sides.
Yeah.
And then on the fourth side behind them, Dean came up. Slight pause.
Oh, yeah. Like he's joining the other side there. Yeah.
And he sees as he's just trying to get back in the ring to help them. But where they've been teasing this and then with on Raw, like I can, like if I wasn't such a nice guy, I could have your title. Like, and they teased it. It was great.
Yeah, that's cool. That's like a subtle foreshadowing, right? Yeah, that's cool.
So good. And so it was good.
I just want to address Tombstone in the chat. He says, I never really started trying to spin Dean Ambrose going to betray the Shield. They kind of need WWE to understand people don't have a 30-day memory. I think that is true. WWE, they sometimes act like the past didn't happen, and then sometimes they address it very directly. But I think at this point, we just kind of have to understand that that's how they kind of tell their stories. Like sometimes it's inconvenient to address the thing that now doesn't make sense. So we'll just kind of pretend it never happened. Like you're kind of like kayfabe. You're like writing it out. You know what I mean? It's like no longer canon until you need it to be canon again. So it's just,
You didn't want to turn Roman because people already hate him. That's the thing too. And that's why everyone will call for it. John Cena said a great interview one time when people were like, how come they never turned you heel? He goes, I was heel.
Yeah.
You guys thought I was heel.
Yeah.
I did not. So that's what we're Roman. Seth already did it. So who do we have left? And I think it would be an amazing heel.
Oh, no. It's good. Yeah.
Just a crazy guy. It'd be great. But if it happens, if it doesn't, I think it's great. Like what they did there.
So J-May in the chat says he was in the crowd live and it was so good. Amazing. That's awesome. I think this was an amazing show for WWE. All right. Last match. It's 27 minutes long, which I think.
Whoa, you skipped one. The two-minute match.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan, The Miz. So that was just weird.
With the roll up for number one.
Roll up in 2 minutes. But that means Daniel Bryan gets a title shot, right? So that is something we should probably mention. It does appear that what they might be trying to do is set up a Daniel Bryan Miz match for the title at some point in the future, probably at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And so that means Daniel Bryan needs to win the title. That's kind of interesting. Does that mean he wins the title off of AJ, or does that mean that Samoa Joe has an imminent title victory that will then pass?
Well, let's look at what's the pay-per-views we have. So we have Evolution, which all the women's.
Yeah, all the women's.
And then Crown Jewel, another country.
Yeah.
Is it a pay-per-view? It's a pay-per-view, right?
It counts. Yeah.
It counts. It's Saudi Arabia, right? They're doing another one there. And then Survivor Series after that. So you got to do Crown Jewel. And if you have both those guys, that means they're not going to be in the Survivor Series team. Do you want to pull the plug there? Do you want to wait till Royal Rumble? Yeah, like you got to think of that as well, of just what events are coming up.
The long-term booking on this is going to be interesting to watch. But that's if that's the rumor and that's, and Daniel Bryan and The Miz, I got to admit, like the matches have not blown me away at this point. But there's so much damn history and like the promo on.
I think they're teasing the fan. Like,
sure,
we're going to give you Miz and Daniel Bryan, but we're going to give you with their wives.
Sure.
Then we're going to give you Miz and Daniel Bryan, and it's going to be 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I think that's what they're
trying to do. They're really slowing this one down.
Yeah.
Yeah. They
know you want it. They
long-term
know that
booking.
As the fan, they're like, we know that's what you want to see, but we're going to make you wait.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now let's just talk about the final match, because this was a lot. There was a lot going on here. I really thought Shawn Michaels was never going to take a bump ever again in his life.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of want to start there. He went through a damn table. He went out the ring a few times. There was a lot of Shawn Michaels in this match, a lot more than I expected. Also, bald Shawn Michaels is the weirdest thing ever, but
yeah,
I'm over it now.
I'm like, oh, all of his hair must be in the cowboy hat. It's just there. And then Undertaker throws him out, and I'm like, oh, the hat flew off. There's no hair there.
Nope.
And there's one thing. I don't know if anyone else caught it. Of course, it's the longest match of the night. Early in the match, Undertaker taunted Shawn Michaels' eye.
Mm.
He points to the eye and hit like to Undertaker looking at Shawn and just starts laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Thought that was hilarious.
Interesting. Yeah, like, it's kind of inside like, baseball, but yeah.
Yeah, and it was – I thought it was great, and it's – my wife came in, who's not really a big wrestling fan. She's like, is this the 90s? Like, these are four men that are old
crazy.
Enough to be my father.
Yeah.
That are wrestling in this ring. But overall, I thought it was good. I think they kind of had it like without no DQ. I think it had to be no DQ. Like without
this was a very slowly worked match. This is kind of more of like that kind of classical style of lots of slow stuff where, you know, everyone's acting tired as hell. It takes a while to get to them. A lot of standing there for a second. Then you smash them with a chair. Then you slowly walk away from each other. It was a lot of that. But I mean, that's what I expected here.
They can get blown up. Like,
yeah.
But they're all still in incredible shape.
Sure.
Triple H looks like an animal. And that's with you got the mayor in the background on Undertaker's side. Just like, please don't hurt me. Yeah. I am a U.S. official now. Like, please.
He didn't
like,
do a it lot. Was all. He wasn't Shawn Michaels levels of actual
gave some sweet
participation.
Music. The go home was great. I thought this is on my Twitter. If you go back and look, I thought we were going to do a curtain call. I thought it was going to be all in the end, four men either hug and they all like tease a retirement altogether because they've all been interwoven in their careers, and then we kind of got that at the end.
For
and
a moment, we got the hug, we got the raising of the arm.
Kane just go crazy and just thrash him.
Yeah. So apparently this is going somewhere, and there's gonna be more of this. I will say this: I was at Undertaker's retirement match at WrestleMania.
Does it take it away from
a
him?
Little
like
bit.
When you're there? Yeah,
a little bit,
especially
man.
Last WrestleMania, I thought it was. That's what I thought it was. People were mad that the big dog took him down to become like to beat him the last time, but it was still the retirement. It was still, you don't even care about that. The last 15 minutes of just him retiring, you're bawling like a little baby to sass like thinking the Undertaker's retired, and then 1 year later, you see a lightning bolt.
Yeah, he's squashing John Cena and stuff. You know,
that
what I mean?
And that's why people said it had to be if like not advertised. That match with John Cena was not advertised, and good reason, because if you advertised me a 30-second John Cena Undertaker match, I would be angry.
Yeah. Well, so I mean, I was there, and it was very emotional, and everybody was acting like, okay, my God, he's actually finally gone. And he looked bad in the match, and it just made a lot of sense, right?
He did. I said it was putting down Old Yeller is sure. What it looked like to me.
Yeah,
like
and the should be coming through. It's the wrestling thing, right? You go out on your back, right? This was, you know.
And JR called it, right? Mm-hmm. JR.
Yep.
Like, yeah. There were so many little things. You're like, this is it.
The and boots, then, the hat, all that thing left in the ring. Or not that he left, not the boots, but he left the duster and the hat. Yeah. So, I mean, and like.
I think they miss it. I think that's the thing with Sean, too. Like, how many times has Bully Ray retired? Damn. I can't even count anymore.
Retirements are funny to me because then, like, the next day he comes out and puts someone through a table. It's like, yeah.
And that's what with All In too, like, oh, we thought he's retired. All the jokes on you. Like, and that's with Undertaker and like even with Goldberg too. Most people didn't think he was gonna come back.
Yeah.
But it's just you love wrestling. Like once you get in the first time and the adrenaline that you get in front of a crowd, it's intoxicating.
I get it. I mean, it's not like Michael Jordan at this point could never come back. It's like Undertaker can. You can do a bunch of fake punching, right? And like
Michael Jordan can be 90 in a wheelchair and they would put him in the Bulls court to watch him play.
Yeah.
Because everyone would go to be like, this is incredible.
If you could predetermine the outcome of the basketball game, but he's like this is like what makes wrestling to me like so interesting is because you can go out there and you can design a situation where this will work. And, you know, that's what they're doing. And I'm all in for watching it. I'm not shying away from it. I'm just a little concerned that I don't want to see him attempt to tombstone somebody because I, you know, the tombstone he did on Triple H at Raw was scary to watch because his like knees looked like they were going to buckle for a second.
Yeah, and it's always like, really close. The head's close. So yeah. He wants his knees to drop and then the head just like not even
like
touch.
An inch or two above the ground or whatever. Yeah. But like, dude, it's looking like that move is harder and harder for him to pull off. And because it is a lot. He's got to pick him up, turn him around.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just scared and for somebody's life.
So when you're taking that move too, as Triple H, this is what we learned. I don't know if these guys and that's one thing too. What I learned is they teach you how to do it, and Joey Ryan says people will teach you the best way how to do it, but then everyone else won't because they take shortcuts. So when Triple H is taking that, he's supposed to put his hands on Undertaker's thighs to try to push. So you know what I mean.
So he pushes himself upwards. Yeah.
Correct. So okay. He's not like sandbagging him, and Triple H or Undertaker doesn't have to pick up a 200 some pound man.
Yeah. I always thought about that too. Like when you think about the Stone Cold, when he actually got injured taking the pile driver, like,
was
there some sort of
Owen
Hart? Yeah. Is there some sort of signal that you give like, okay, I can take it now? Or,
yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So what happens is what I called earlier called giving the business.
Yeah.
So refs usually do that. The Dudleys, who was the old lady that had the hand come out when she had it? What's her name? Mae Young.
No?
Yeah. So they put the Dudleys put her through a table, and that was the first time like I think on TV they did it. It's called giving the business. You'll see refs give the hand, mm-hmm. but put their hand and shake their hand. And if the person that you think is injured squeezes your hand,
yeah, then they're okay. Yeah.
And that's always one thing too. And then everybody knows if that's how the ref knows when they don't squeeze back to throw up the X.
Sure.
Because if
although the X is now being used as a
I don't like that. Don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like that either, man.
And I don't know if it was fake or if I don't, because when Cody went down, we didn't know if he was actually injured.
Yeah.
Maybe he was and he still came back.
I would like them to just go, this is a thing that is kind of sacred and we're not going to use it to try to get the crowd to think something, you know, because, yeah. Like when I was at the G1 special and friggin', what's his name, broke his neck, right? It was very obvious to us, and the crowd was very concerned, right?
Yes.
And Takahashi. Anyway, so like the whole thing was just it was at that moment you don't want them to then make you think he broke his neck because that's not none of us want to see anybody get actually hurt, right? As fans, so to
you
then
see what
use
Loki
that
did the other day.
What's that?
You see what Low-Ki did the other day?
No.
He ripped someone's ear. Like he, like.
Oh, like actually detached it? Really?
Yeah. Like, ooh. I think they were trying to show something, but not to get off. But yeah, like, sure. That's, you don't want to see, especially like when I was at All In with Cody, the guy that's putting on the show and they throw up the X. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, you, and because we want to go see people beat each other up, but we don't want to see like a real injury.
No. Yeah. That's why I'm not a fan of the death match at all. I don't like watching any of that kind of stuff. You know, people going like barbed wire ropes and all, like, I just, ugh. That just turns me off. Like
those, yeah. So those glass tubes.
Yeah.
They tell the workers don't use it because there's
like dust toxins, in it, like, right? Yeah.
And the glass, but there's some people. So, and that's one thing too. If I, as an indie guy, go to a show, I'm only making X amount of money. If I say, hey, if I do this crazy thing for you, will you pay me more money?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they say, hey, let me take these barbed wire crazy things just to make another couple bucks.
$100 more or something, right? Yeah. I heard Dean Ambrose talk about that, where he felt like he was bartering with his life and his body mm-hmm. for a while because he was doing a lot of those death matches. When he was doing CZW and things. So I just, to me, it's like, as a wrestling fan, no, thank you. I want to have fun, longevity. Man.
You don't want to risk your body
to
take, like, there's an X amount of bumps and every, like, there's like a bump multiplier.
Sure.
Like if I take like a after super this crazy many, you're bump, done. Yeah. That counts as like 7 bumps.
Yeah.
And you just, you want to, that's why like, I don't like doing a lot of top rope stuff or like going, but I actually want to get on top of a ladder and do some stuff there. But it's just, with barbed wire, with stuff like that, I've done barbed wire, but less like the lighting tubes, stuff that's just too crazy that people shouldn't, like cheese grater. That makes me feel sick.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I can go see a horror movie if I want to see this kind of stuff, you know? So anyway,
you know, it's fake.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, the there's a lot of wrestling to go over. This was a long show, but I think we had to be at this point because this was our comeback show after having a little bit of a break there. I did talk to Jerry, and he does want to come back on the show intermittently. So, stay tuned for that if you're listening to the show. Thank you again to Lane for joining me. I think this was a fantastic first episode. We had so much to cover. So
it was great. I had a great time. Great first show. And don't worry. I know my video is garbage right now.
We're working on it. We'll get there. Yeah.
Every week, I hope that I improve on one thing.
Sure.
To get it going.
I think that's a logical goal.
I look like a dark floating head in the darkness right now. So
it's okay though. The audio is how most people take in this show. It's fine. So by the way, just tell folks, promote your stuff. Like where can they find you? Where can they watch the promotion that you actually participate in? All that stuff.
Yeah, I put a lot of stuff up on my Twitter. If you find that, or you can do the FTC wrestling page. Please don't watch my matches; they're garbage. Please watch the other ones. If you do want to see me get chopped absolutely maliciously, last time I do almost cry. But on Twitter and Instagram at Lane the Main LaneTheMain, find me there, and I'll love to talk to you if you want to talk to me.
So, real quick, you described to me briefly that your wrestling character is just a big nerd.
It's me. Yeah, it's me as a person. I go by it's like Lane Styles.
A higher version of yourself.
Yeah, it's and when they told me, when you're trying to make a wrestling character, it's supposed to be an extension of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course, not like the boogeyman and stuff. That's not an extension of him.
But they don't want you to do the ringmaster, right? They want you to be Stone Cold Steve Austin.
They want you to be Stone Cold. Yeah. And that's what with me, like, when the light earlier, I have my shirt on. It's like I'm a nerd. That's why I play Hearthstone in some of my promos. I had the Cars video game on. I live in my mother's basement.
That's freaking awesome.
I don't actually do, but in the kayfabe world. But it's and being able to write and do all that stuff, amazing. That it's really really fun.
That's awesome, man. Really glad to have you on. I'm looking forward to the show going forward. So we're going to try to get back onto our every week schedule here, guys. So stay tuned. Check us out next week on Monday. Again, you can find me at Willie Dills. If you do want to support the show, we love our patrons. We love our Discord. So the 1-900 family, we're actually doing a fantasy football this year, which is kind of fun. So it's a fantastic community. Patreon.com/1900wrestling is where you can find that. If you do want to just throw a dollar or whatever at us per show, It doesn't go directly into our pockets. It gets used to create more content for you guys, a la going to some of these wrestling events. So, again, thank you to Lane the Main Jury, who's not here, but we'll be back. I'm Willie Dills, and we'll see you next time on 1-900 Wrestling. Until then,
be dialing. I've been around in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number
1-900 Wrestling.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Horror.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John Cena.
Well, look at this, prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot.